Hello and welcome to another podcast episode. How are you? Have you had a good week? Are you having a good weekend? Have you been up to anything exciting? And what do you think of the weather if you're in the UK? It's another bitterly cold day, 5 degrees centigrade this morning. Where is it now? We're 7:30 now in the morning, 5 degrees centigrade, which is 41 Fahrenheit. I mean, that's cold, isn't it? For this time of year, we're coming up to May next week. That's too cold. 95% humidity. It was lashing with rain this morning. Now we've got sunshine. 106 millibars on the barometer, and the flag is flapping away from the west wind. At least it's from the west and not the north or the east, which is good. We haven't had an idiot behind a desk for a while, have we? How about in Wales, over there in Welsh Wales, where they decided that the entire country should be 20 mile an hour speed limit? Well, I think most of it. I'm not sure it was every single road in the country. 20 miles an hour speed limit. That is slow, isn't it? On the side roads, like our road here, is a little side road, little residential area. I think that would be fine. But the bigger roads, the main roads, you can't all potter along at 20. So the idiot behind the desk, whoever thought that up, has had a change of mind, or someone has. And they're now going to scrap a lot of it. I don't think they're scrapping all of it, but a lot of it. I know it's road safety. And whenever I mention road safety these days to anyone, if I say, oh, you know, in my day, we didn't have all this problem with the traffic. Oh, yeah, well, when you were a boy, there were hardly any cars. You mainly had horses and carts. No, we didn't. We did have horse and carts. I remember the Rag and Bone Man in the 50s. He'd come up our road on a cart pulled by a horse, and he'd shout out, Rag-bone, just like that, Rag-bone. And people would take out their junk to him and chuck it on his cart, and he'd pay you if you were lucky. You know, how much you get me for this old, I don't know, old vacuum cleaner? Well, threepence, sixpence, all right, go on then. He was like a travelling scrap man. And I suppose some of it he sold on if it was worthwhile. If not, then the metal would be worth scrap value. I don't know, like Steptoe and Son, they were basically, I think they called themselves scrap merchants, but they were basically rag and bone men, weren't they? Because they had the horse and cart. And I do remember that going up our road in the 50s, because I was only young, you know, I used to go out and say hello to the horse. The chap was all right, he was quite friendly on there. I think people were just pleased that he'd take some of their junk away, even though it was for nothing at times, just pleased to get rid of it. So he was quite a useful chap. Back to idiots behind desks, whoever it was that decided Wales should all be 20 mile an hour speed limit. As I said, he's either had a change of mind or someone's changed his mind for him. Perhaps they sacked him. I don't know who it was. Perhaps it was the kind of Welsh government. I don't know. But it was a daft idea. Some years ago here in Worthing, where I live, we've got a bridge over the railway line, and someone, some idiot behind a desk, thought, what we'll do is dual carriageway either side of the bridge, so you've got two lanes each side. And someone thought, what we'll do, we'll make one lane a cycle lane. Now, to the cyclists out there, I've nothing against cycle lanes. In fact, they're a very good idea. But our local council or the highways people, whoever they are, I don't know who they are. Well, I do. They're idiots behind desks. They decided that we'll have the entire stretch. It's the A24 as it comes into Worthing. Look it up on the map. Goes over the railway line, Broadwater Bridge. Each side, they took one lane, blocked it off to cars and made it a cycle lane. It was horrendous because the side roads that come out into the main road obviously came out directly into this cycle lane. There's cars turning into the side roads across the cycle lane. There's cars trying to come out, which have to cross the cycle lane. There weren't that many bicycles in the lanes, and it was absolute nightmare. People were complaining and moaning about it. What did they do eventually? They did away with the entire scheme and put it all back to how it was. Another idiot behind the desk. I could have told them that it wouldn't work. Anyone with a half an ounce of sense could have told them that it wouldn't work. Oh, that reminds me, a friend of mine, we were talking about pirates the other day. We've had a pirate radio station in Worthing. jamming out Radio 2, would you believe? Stone the Crows, you can't jam the BBC. You can't put your umcha 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 music on top of BBC Radio 2. It's just not the done thing. It's not cricket. Pirate, by all means, set up your own station. Yeah, great fun. Totally illegal. Love it. But don't do it on top of the BBC 2 radio frequency. What is it, 90.1 FM or something? A friend of mine phoned me and he said, I can't hear Radio 2. I said, well, you shouldn't be listening to that rubbish in the first place. He said, no, seriously, have a listen. So I turned my radio on here and all I'm getting is, well, the two stations together, and one of them is playing some rubbish music, that's Radio 2, and on the other one, all you can hear is... So anyway, it's disappeared now. It's gone. I don't know whether they've been busted or whatever happened. But this friend of mine said, they're idiots. And I agreed, yes, they're idiots to do that right on top of BBC. And he said, there are other pirates around, but they're sensible idiots. I thought that was quite a good term. I said to him, I'm a sensible idiot. And he agreed. Is that a compliment or not? I'm not sure. I do realise that back in my day, in the 50s, the 60s, I do realise there was far less traffic. There were far fewer cars. I know that. The roads were quiet. I saw a documentary thing the other day about the M1 when they opened the M1 motorway, and they were showing the traffic on the M1, and we were laughing. In one shot, we saw both carriageways, both sides of the motorway, and we counted 5 cars. Then another one came along, then a lorry went past. Amazing. These days, I think it's about 5 lanes each side in places, and it just grinds to a halt. Jammed, solid, gridlock. What a difference. I know there were fewer cars back then, so obviously driving and parking and the rest of it was a lot easier. But I'm still right in saying these days, driving anywhere or trying to park anywhere is a complete nightmare. I don't know what the answer is. No one does, obviously. No one does. It's all very well saying use bicycles. Yep, that's fine. I agree with that. I used to ride a bike everywhere up until about 20 years ago. Then I started getting a little bit wobbly on it. Well, not wobbly, but the traffic, too much traffic. And I was afraid to go on the main roads because some of the cars would pass very close. And I was worried about being hit by a wing mirror or something. And I gave it up. That was about 20, 25 years ago I stopped. And it is dangerous these days to be cycling on the roads. We come back to the same old thing. Too many people, too many cars, blah, blah, blah. Now then, Eternal Triangle. What's all that about? I've called this episode, haven't I? The Eternal Triangle or something, some such daft name. This all came about when I received an email from Gail up in Cumbria. Hello, Gail. Morning to you. Thanks for contacting me. Gail says, back in your day, I like that. You can always tell a younger person. I know your age, Gail. You said how old you are. Back in your day, I always know when it's a younger person. Back in your day, when you were a boy, older people don't tend to say that. That's back in our day. Anyway, I digress. Gail is wanting to know, did we have cheating and... cheating, adultery, eternal triangles and things like that. Yes, we did. It's nothing new. In fact, it must be thousands of years old. People cheating on each other, lying to each other, deceiving each other. Struth. Obviously, I have done nothing of the sort myself, being an upright pillar of the community. Right, let's move on swiftly. Yes, we did, Gail. We had all that sort of stuff then, and it's still going on now. The reason Gail asks is because her boyfriend of 5 years, they've been planning to get married, they're saving up for their deposit for a mortgage, getting their bottom drawer. Do you remember the bottom drawer? Well, you'd save things in your bottom drawer to get married. I don't know why it was a bottom drawer, but things for your home, you'd save them up, you'd buy things and put them in the bottom drawer. Anyway, Gail has been doing this with her boyfriend, and she found out the other day that he's been seeing someone else for 3 years. He's been going out with her for 5, planning to get married, and been seeing this other girl for the last 3 years. That's sad, Gail. I feel sorry for you. That is sad. But it's nothing new. It happens. It always has. It does and always will, unfortunately. You're probably... I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to say you're better off without him, because I won't get involved, but it's difficult, isn't it? Back in our day, I knew a chap and his wife. I didn't know them that well, only to say hello to her. They had a little boy of about 3 years old. They seemed all right, little family of three, used to say hello to me. And I discovered one day she had been going out with this other chap that I did know well. She'd been going out with him for a couple of years. Everyone in the pub, this is where we used to gather, obviously, we were back to the pub again, not with the little boy. Mind you, she did wheel him in there sometimes in the pushchair when she came just to pop in to see her husband. But this had been going on for a couple of years. She'd been seeing this other chap sort of on the side. People would discuss it. They'd say, well, should we sort of say something? You know, should we tell him? Should we tell her husband what's going on? The poor chap's oblivious. Everyone knew except him. I don't know what happened in the end because I stopped going to that particular pub. I moved away. But I did see him years and years later. And he said hello in the street. And I just said, oh, hi, how are you doing? And he said, did you know what was going on? I said, no, I didn't know what was going on. I didn't want to say yes, because he would have said, well, why didn't you tell me? What would you have done? Would you have told him that his wife had been seeing this other chap for the previous 2 years? Or would you have kept quiet? It's difficult, isn't it? I don't know what's best. RaysRants@protonmail.com. Many years ago, I knew a lovely couple. They were in their mid-20s, I suppose. They had two daughters, lovely girls. They were, as far as I was aware, a happily married couple. I popped round one evening. I'd repaired the chap's radio, and he was out. His wife answered the door, and I said, I've just brought his radio round. Oh, come in, she said. He's not here at the moment. I said, that's OK, I'll give him a ring later. I only wanted to drop the radio off. I didn't want to go in. He won't be back till tomorrow, she said. OK, that's not a problem. I'll give him a ring tomorrow. Then she said, he's staying with some girl or other. And I thought, what is she talking about? Some girl or other? I said, what do you mean? She said, well, we've got an open marriage. Didn't you know? I didn't know. I hadn't known them that long, actually. They were, I say, friends of mine, probably more acquaintances, to be honest. I said, no, I didn't know that. I'd heard the term before. I sort of knew what it meant. I thought it rather odd. I'd always thought them to be a happy little family unit, the mum, the dad, the two daughters. So he was staying away for the night with some girl, and she could see I was frowning or looking perplexed or whatever. And she said, it's all right. We're both very happy together. We're happy with our family here. She said, everything's fine. It's just that we've got an open marriage. If he wants to go and sleep with someone else, he can. And if I want to, I can. It's not a problem. I thought that strange. I don't know. What do you think of that? I don't think I'd like that. Would you like that? I certainly wouldn't. Not knowing where your wife or your husband have gone. They've just gone to sleep with someone else. It all seems rather strange to me. But there we are. Perhaps I'm old-fashioned. Mind you, I wasn't old-fashioned then. I was in my mid-20s, so I was the same age as them, more or less. They moved away in the end, so I don't know what the outcome was. I wonder whether they're still together. Well, they'll be in their 70s now. Are they still together? One wonders. Just briefly, thanks for your emails about Nurse Diane. Several of you want to hear more. I cut it off a bit short. Listening to it again, the interview I had with my sister-in-law, I cut it off a bit short because she was saying, oh, is there anything else? And I said, no, that's it, thanks. I don't know why I did that. I think because it was a bit of an experiment. I didn't want to bore people. I didn't want you sitting there thinking, oh, how much longer have we got of this? So there will be a part two, because she has said that she wants to say a lot more. And my son, who I spoke to the other day in North Carolina, he liked it. I checked the audio with him because he's a audio man. You know, he listens carefully to audio. And he detects things that aren't quite right. Anyway, it passed the audio test with him, so that's good. That's good news. But he said exactly the same. I'd like to have heard more of that, but it ended. So there will be a part two at some stage. I must just tell you this. UK weather warning. This is an update. UK weather warning. Britain set for Arctic blast with -2 centigrade plunge as gales and thunderstorms to hit within days. Crikey. Gales and thunderstorms to hit within days. What does that mean? -2 centigrade plunge. Thinking about it, they could be right, actually. It's been so cold at night. It's cold now. It's cold all the time. I don't know why it's so cold. So they could be right. Imagine that, -2 in May. We're coming up to May. Struth. Warren, nice to hear from you. Where are you? Ontario. Is it Ontario? I can't remember now. I think it is. You mentioned technology and things in the old days. I think I mentioned this to you before on another episode. Was it last Sunday or on the midweek message? Yes, I have talked about old technology, cassette tape recorders, reel-to-reel tape recorders, but worth mentioning one or two again. The main thing we had in the 60s, well, in the 50s, late 50s, were reel-to-reel tape recorders, if you could afford them. They weren't cheap, but there were some second-hand ones around. Of course, being in the trade, as I was, I managed to get a second-hand one at a good price. And we would record music from the radio. Now, there wasn't a great deal of music around then, but the BBC started doing Pig of the Pops on Sunday evening, I think between 5 and 7, with Alan Freeman. Rings a bell. I've got some tapes here with him on somewhere. And what we would do is record the latest records. If you're after the number one record of that week, we'd record it. And we all did it. Everyone I knew at the time, just about everyone, had a reel-to-reel tape recorder. And Sunday, between 5 and 7, you wouldn't see anyone out and about. They're all at home, sitting in front of the tape recorder, ready to press record when whatever record they wanted came on. Then cassette tapes came along. If you remember the cassette tapes, I've got a box full somewhere up in the attic. They were okay. I preferred the reel-to-reel. I thought that was far better quality. I was never really into the cassettes. And then after that, we had the CDs. Now, they were play-only originally, and now on your computer and that, you can record onto discs, can't you? But they were play-only, a bit like records, but different sort of looking and different shape and size and quality. The quality was rubbish. I never really got into CDs at all. They've gone now, of course. That's all gone. And it's all, well, it's all on computer, isn't it? On your iPad, your phone, MP3 stuff. Although vinyl records are beginning to come back. Mind you, I've been hearing that for a couple of years now. Vinyl's making a comeback. People are buying record players, record decks and amplifiers. It's all making a comeback. But I don't know anyone that's bought a vinyl record. Well, not for about, not for about 50 years anyway. So I don't know. I've got quite a collection of vinyl. I've got some nice Rolling Stones LPs. They were called LPs. I think they're albums now. LP was long play. Then there was EP. Do you remember EP records, extended play? That was the 45 RPM record. But there were two tracks on each side, so you've got four tracks. Extended play. I had one or two of those in the past. Then there were the singles, of course, the ordinary 45 RPM singles. There were second-hand record shops around. I don't know whether there are these days. Probably in London you'll find a few. Maybe Brighton, other cities. That was good. You could go in there and have a look through second-hand records. A lot cheaper, of course, than buying new ones. But they also had, which weren't so cheap, some really vintage records, good quality, you know, not been played, beautiful sleeves, beautiful covers, not ripped or torn or bashed around. And you could buy some really nice second-hand records. I bought a Fleetwood Mac double LP. What was that? It was a double LP with a white cover, not the Beatles white cover one. Fleetwood Mac with Sarah. That's one of my favourites. Sarah, do you remember that? I went over to Brighton and bought that. I also went into a second-hand record shop in London once. I bought a couple of records there, which was interesting. I'm not sure whether there are shops around like that these days, but that was great. There were so many shops back in the 50s and especially the 60s. I think this thing about us British, we're a nation of shopkeepers. It was true. It's not now. The high streets are empty now, aren't they? Just full of Costa coffee and what else, charity shops and other stuff. Not like it used to be. But back in the old days, you could go to a bigger town or a city and there were all sorts of shops. You could buy second-hand clothes, second-hand records, second-hand electrical equipment, reel-to-reel tape recorders, of course. And in London, military equipment, military radios, transmitters, receivers, all sorts of ex-military gear, which was fantastic. I was always up at Tottenham Court Road. Loads of shops up there, all sorts of things. It's all gone and it's such a shame. There's nothing left. I suppose, what is there? eBay. And that's not really the same, is it, as browsing in a shop, looking through old radio gear or clothes from the 60s. I mean, there are still in Carnaby Street. I haven't been to Carnaby Street for about 100 years. Is that still going? You could get some brilliant clothes up there. I used to go there in the 60s. Fantastic. Whatever you wanted, you would find it in Carnaby Street. Amazing. Jimi Hendrix type clothes. Remember the clothes he wore on stage? Brilliant. His hat with that gold chain thing round it. I loved all that. Great days. Happy days. But now I do go into town on the odd occasion. I hate it down there because it's boring and horrible. But there aren't any shops, really, not like it used to be. Window shopping. Do you remember that term? I think that's gone now. There's nothing to see in shop windows now. The charity shops, I'm not knocking them. They're not too bad. Trish and I will often pop into a charity shop if we're out and about just to have a look. I have bought one or two things in charity shops, but in the main, I don't know, it's not as it used to be. Why do charity shops smell? Do you notice that, or is it just me? No, I don't mean just me that smells. There's that smell. Whenever you open the door, you walk into the charity shop and you're met with that, oh, what's that? I suppose it's the clothes, isn't it? The clothes they've been hanging in people's wardrobes with mothballs for 50 years. I don't know. Perhaps it's the clothes. I don't like that smell, though. It makes me feel ill. Something's dinging now. I don't know what that is. Probably another Met Office alert. Probably going to get 6 foot of snow this weekend. A lot of people that are getting on in years, I don't mean necessarily old people, but people from sort of 60 onwards, that is old to youngsters, isn't it? 60? Crikey. They miss the shops. And even someone like me who hates shopping, I don't like shopping at all, but I do miss having all the shops in town. If I wanted a pair of shoes, I'd go down there and have a look at the shoe shops. Now it's all gone. Where do we get shoes from now? We did have a big shoe shop up on what they call this retail park or business. I don't know what they call it. It's just a huge, horrible place with car parks and people everywhere. But that big shoe shop has gone. I think they went bankrupt. You used to be able to go into town and go into the shoe shops. I know there are some around still, but in the old days there were loads. I remember going into one shoe shop. And I said to the girl, she said, can I help you? I said, yes, I want some Cuban heel boots. This is back in the 60s. And she said, I'm sorry, we don't have Cuban heel boots. And I said, oh, sorry, my fault. I thought this was a shoe shop. And I walked out. When I got outside, I looked back and she looked sad. I felt guilty. I'd been rude to her. Well, I wasn't rude to her. I suppose I was. I felt guilty. And I went back in and I said, I'm sorry, I was joking. She said, no, that's all right. That was funny. Back in the 60s and 70s, there were a lot of boutiques, male and female. They were called boutiques. So you'd have a girls type boutique and they had mini dresses, mini skirts, the plastic boots, you know, those white boots, go-go boots, are they? All that sort of gear just for girls. Then the male boutiques. Sounds a bit odd, doesn't it? Boutique for men. Anyway, they had all the hipster trousers, the flares, and sometimes Cuban heel boots and other footwear that were sort of in vogue at the time. And they had the kipper ties and all that sort of thing. They weren't particularly cheap, the boutiques, but it was nice to at least have a few shops in your local town where you could get some of the latest fashion. Of course, apart from charity shops and coffee shops, we have phone shops now. Have you ever been into a phone shop? I've never been into one. I don't know what they do in there. Well, they sell mobile phones, I suppose. But people go in there with their phone and they have problems sorted out. I've never been into one. I've seen them. And there's people standing about with phones. I don't know what they're doing. Because my mobile phone, no one ever phones me on the mobile, probably because no one's got my number. I got it from Trish. Whenever she updates her phone, gets a new phone, I have her old one. And then I get some SIM card or whatever from somewhere from my old phone, stick it in the new one. We nearly, the other day, nearly got rid of our landline phones. We got two and we never use them. The only time they're used is our mums ring us on the landline. They won't ring mobiles for some reason. I don't know why. And I've been wanting to get rid of our landline phones. One upstairs, one downstairs, for years. But we can't. We nearly did the other day because the internet provider people we're with have sort of quadrupled their prices. They seem to do that every week. So we got on to them and said, oh, what's this? We're not doing this. You know, you can have the whole lot. We don't want it. We've finished with it. And they were saying, well, I'll tell you what we'd do. I knew they'd do that. What we'd do, blah, blah, blah. So we said, look, can we get rid of the landline phones? That will save us money. Well, actually, it won't because it's in with the package and it's all kind of, I don't know. So long story short, we're stuck with the damn landline phones. The only reason I don't want them really is you get these nuisance calls. Mind you, that does happen, not on my mobile because, as I said, no one's got my number. But on Trisha's mobile, she gets these nuisance calls. Didn't get those in the old days. Do you remember? No, you won't remember. You're not as old as me. Some of you are older than me. There used to be the, what were they called? The sort of dirty phone calls. Someone would answer the phone. Normally, if it was a female voice that answered the phone, then you'd hear breathing, you know, and all this. And then whoever it was, this male person, would ask some sort of naughty question or say something dirty. They were, what were they called? Not dirty phone calls. There was a term for it. I can't remember. That used to go on quite a bit. I don't quite know what happened. Does that still go on? I don't think it does. I mean, I wouldn't know. I don't get heavy breathing type phone calls. But I do remember a friend of mine, his wife, on their landline, as soon as he went out to work, the phone would ring. So it was obviously someone that knew what time he went to work or was watching. As soon as he went off in his car to work, the phone would ring and it would be this male voice sort of trying to disguise it like this. What colour are your... Well, anyway, we won't go into what he said. And there'd be the breathing and all this stuff. And what she did, she was quite a laugh, his wife. She'd play along with it. And that's how he got caught in the end. She played along with it. And he got to the stage of saying, let's meet. And she said, OK, yeah, let's meet. We'll have some fun. And of course, she had her husband with her. They met wherever it was. This chap turned up and it was one of the, a neighbour, not an immediate neighbour, but for someone from down their road. And the husband had a right go at him. I don't know whether they went to the police or not, but he didn't make any phone calls after that. Well, certainly not to this particular lady anyway. I know quite a few people who've got the landline. It's all set up, but they just don't have a telephone. They've unplugged it. Or haven't even got a phone, so if you do ring their number, well, you won't get anywhere anyway. I remember when answer phones first came out. Do you remember the Rockford Files? Was that Rockford Files where his dad lived in a caravan? Do you remember that? The phone would ring. You're through to, was it Jim Rockford? Leave a message, I'll get back to you. That was years ago, wasn't it? The early days of answer phones. I remember the first answer phone we got had a cassette tape in it. You'd record your message onto the tape. And it did all sorts of mechanical noises, clicking and recording, and goodness knows what it did. And then, of course, they went to the smaller cassette tapes, so the little dictaphone-type ones. They were good fun in the old days. We had one of the very early answer phones. I think it was BT, British Telecom. They supplied it. Because at the time, I don't think you could go and get any old answer phone. You had to have the telephone company's answer phone. But they were quite good. Now, I don't think people bother. We don't have an answer phone. Oh, actually, we do on the landline. I'd forgotten that, because that's never used, of course, because it's only the mothers that ring us. And if they get the answer phone, they just hang up. Then we had a device, which you go into a telephone box in the street somewhere, dial your home number, then you hold this little device against the mouthpiece, and it would play a bit of code, a bit like the old fax machines, you know, a bit of audio-type code, and that would allow you to listen to your answer phone messages from a telephone anywhere. That was quite a good idea, I suppose, especially for business people. I suppose what I could do is unplug the phones and just tell people we've no longer got landline. That would sort that problem out. The mothers would have to phone the mobile phones, wouldn't they? Completely different subject now. I remember watching a BBC documentary about their sound effects. What brought this to mind was talking to a friend the other day. He used to make up sound effects and record them on a reel-to-reel tape recorder. But the BBC documentary was interesting. For a creaking door, they had an actual door with rusty hinges. The thing is, the door was about, what, a foot high and 8 inches wide. on a frame affixed to a base, a wooden base. So it was an actual door, but very small. Walking across gravel, they had a tin tray with a load of gravel in it, and this chap had a boot, a life-size boot, and he would walk it on the gravel. And it sounded, it was a foot walking on gravel, but it sounded so real when you didn't look at the screen at what he was doing, just listen to it. It was very interesting. And I bumped into this chap the other day, and he used to make all sorts of sound effects, creaking doors and knocking on doors, doorbells, which he recorded an ordinary doorbell, of course. But I just found it all very interesting. Do you remember on the BBC Home Service years and years ago, they used to have radio plays? I remember as a kid, 10, 11, 12 years old, had my little valve, my tube radio by the bed. I'd listen to the BBC Home Service, and they'd have thrillers on, all sorts of plays, and it was fantastic to listen to. And I think as a child of that age, it was not educational, but opens your mind, I suppose, gets your imagination going. And I remember hearing the various sound effects from the BBC sound effects department. A knock on the door, for example, would be someone banging on a piece of wood. Doot, doot, doot. And it just sounded so real. And of course, with a radio play, you're using your mind, your imagination, and you're picturing things. And I remember distinctly a chap walking up a driveway, a gravel drive, as I showed you earlier, not showed you, let you hear earlier, the gravel. And I just pictured in my mind this person walking towards this house. I think he was a baddie. He was a burglar or something. He was up to no good. As they used to say in the old days, anyone out after midnight is up to no good. And I just remember picturing what was going on. You'd hear the door open and it would creak. Then footsteps into the hall, and it was fantastic. I used to prefer that to watching something on television because you can use your imagination. I suppose it's the same with reading books. The only work of fiction I've ever read is Wuthering Heights. I've never read anything else. I can't get into books. I don't know why. Perhaps you can. I know lots of people. They bury themselves in a book. You don't see them for hours. They're just there reading, lost in the world of fiction or whatever it is they're reading. The only books I ever read were textbooks about electronics, aerials, transmitters, radio stations, and all that stuff. Another quick change of subject. Just had another weather update, alert, warning or whatever. Next week is the 1st of May on Wednesday. Next week, we are having a warm spell. I don't know what a warm spell means. Will the sun come out one morning for a couple of hours? Is that a warm spell? Or will it be for a couple of weeks? I've no idea. Have you ever watched Bottom with Rick Mail and Aid Edmondson? You know, Bottom, the BBC series. I saw a documentary on that the other day. It was just Aid Edmondson because Rick Mail sadly has passed away. And he was talking about sound effects on there. I know I've just talked about the weather. We're now back on sound effects. Keep up at the back there, keep up. What Aid was saying was when they were twisting Rick Mail's leg, it was supposed to be broken, and they were twisting it back into shape. They got it round the wrong way, so his foot was facing behind. And he said to get the sound of sort of crunching, breaking bones, they had a polystyrene coffee cup, put it in front of the mic and twisted it in the hands. The sound men or whoever did it, the floor manager or whatever they call all these people that run around the set doing things. And he let us hear it on the documentary, and it was good. It sounded like crunching bones. Just going back to the friend of mine who used to do these sound effects. He actually recorded, he was well into audio and recording. He loved it all. He recorded some radio, not radio plays because they weren't on the radio, but he did some plays, and he gave me a reel-to-reel tape with one of his plays on that he'd recorded. It was a story that he'd read somewhere, and he actually made it into a play. And he did the voices, of course, which he was very good at. And it was fantastic, all the sound effects he'd put in there. And I said to him, you ought to send this off to the BBC. I don't know whether he ever did, but it would have been amazing had he sent that off to the BBC. They might have accepted it. He might have got tens of thousands of millions of pounds. He might be infamous by now. There again, they probably reject it. I sent a play once to the BBC many years ago. A sitcom it was, not a play, a sitcom idea on a caravan site. I wrote it all out, typed it all. I did all the camera angles, the whole thing properly, laid out on A4 paper exactly as the recommendation. I sent it off and I got a reply. No thanks. Oh, my work. That was the end of that. I don't know where I've put it. I think I've lost it. I did have it all printed, but this is decades ago. I think I've lost it now. But I just thought it was a good idea for a sitcom. They obviously didn't. Of course, these days, with all the modern electronics, recording a play with sound effects, I would imagine, is a lot easier than it would have been back in the 60s. Because these days, you don't need to use tape recorders and things like that. It's all on the computer, isn't it? You can do everything on the computer. In fact, you can download sound effects. There are places that are sort of copyright-free, creaking doors and the sea crashing in and airplanes, cars going by, machine guns. It's all there, copyright-free, if you want anything like that. Perhaps I should write a play or a little sitcom and let you listen to it. No, 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 you're all saying no, please don't. OK, that wasn't a threat. I won't do that. Many years ago, when my son was, sort of 6, 7 years old, something like that, I used to record bedtime stories on cassette tapes so he could listen to them. I wonder whether you're listening over there in North Carolina. Do you remember that? I used to record stories onto tape so he could listen to them in bed when he wanted to. It was quite a good idea, that. We went to the music quiz last night and we won a bottle of wine, that was all. First prize, £60. Second prize was 30. I think third prize was 10. And we came fourth, a bottle of wine, which is OK. The ladies like that. I don't like wine. Don't like wine at all. But my sister-in-law was there and I was chatting about the interview we did. And she's keen to do another one. And we came up with the idea of people asking questions. So we're not doing it yet, but we will do a part two to the Nurse Diane thing. If you have any questions, then I can put those to her. RaiseRants@protonmail.com. If you want to know anything about nursing and hospitals and blood and arteries and spurt. What was that? Blood, artery, gash, spurt or whatever it was. That was at Monty Python. Do you remember Monty Python in the old days? That was brilliant. I used to love that. So get your questions ready and I shall put them to Nurse Diane. We were out in the car the other day and I was showing Trish where I used to play as a kid. We had to call in on a friend of hers, so we were on this sort of housing estate. And I said to her, this is where I used to play. And she said, amongst the houses? And I said, no. There was a pond, there were trees, there were woods. The farm has gone. It's all concrete now. I know I always bang on about this, but it is such a shame. A lot of the old buildings that we had in and around the town, they're now blocks of flats. They look awful. They really do. They built some monstrosity in the town. I don't know what it's supposed to be. It looks like a prison. It's not a prison. Well, I don't think it is, unless they've locked up a lot of old ladies in there. Because that's where a lot of old people live. Perhaps they put them in prison, keep them off the streets, causing problems. No, seriously, who are these architects? Are there idiots behind desks? Are all architects idiots? I mean, look, I'm not accusing them of being idiots. I'm just asking. Are they idiots? I think, yes, I am accusing them. Why do they build these monstrosities? Down on the seafront here, they've built some awful-looking things. They are blocks of flats where people live, or apartments, as you might call them, wherever you are in the world. But they look dreadful. I wouldn't want to live there. We looked at some new builds, as they call them. I don't know why they have to come up with these daft terms. New builds. In the 50s, they were new houses, new bungalows. Now they're new builds. Mental. Another idiot behind a desk somewhere. And they're dreadful. These show houses, we didn't go in, but we just had a look round outside. They're awful. They look like boxes. No character, no nothing. Nothing about them at all that you would think, oh, look, that's lovely, like some of the old houses. Dreadful looking things. I would hate to live there. Who wants to live in a box? That was another, was that Monty Python? Do you remember in the old days? They were talking about poverty and being broke. And someone said, oh, I lived wherever. And he said, oh, luxury. I lived in a shoebox in the middle of a cesspit. And the others were saying, oh, shoebox in the middle of a cesspit. Oh, pure luxury. How lucky you are. it, mental, it went on like that. I don't know, those of you living abroad, Australia, America, did you watch Monty Python and all that sort of nonsense? Totally mad. Back in the day, it was totally mad, but it was brilliant. Rather like Tommy Cooper. The jokes were so pathetic, they were brilliant. Well, I've just remembered, had an email from Sarah. Hello, Sarah. Nearly forgot you. Going back to school days, you know, I mentioned our teachers weren't at all interested in school. We weren't interested in school. They hated it as much as I did. Well, Sarah has emailed me and she says that when she was at school, all girls school, secondary modern, she says our teachers were very similar. One or two of them were interested, but in the main, they weren't interested at all in teaching them anything. They'd set the lesson, right, get on with that. And she says one of her teachers, a lady teacher in particular, they'd all pile into the classroom, sit down, and this teacher would say, I think she said it was English, wasn't it, Sarah? English teacher. She'd say, right, I've written some ideas on the board, on the blackboard there. Write a story. And they'd all have to write a story while the teacher sat up the front reading women's magazines. Do you remember the old women's magazine? Woman's Own and Woman. What was there? Take a Break. That's a later one, I think. House and Home, was it? Things like that. I remember the old magazines that my mum used to read back in the 50s and 60s. So Sarah's saying that her school was exactly the same as mine. And she agrees with me. They were churning out housewives at her school and factory workers at my school. Churning out housewives. That's funny, isn't it? Going back further than my school days, let's say my mother's school days or my grandmother's school days, back then, girls in particular, I believe, perhaps boys as well, were taught to play the piano, either by their parents or a piano teacher, and sometimes at school in music lessons, they would teach girls to read music and play the piano. I've known a lot of people, a lot of older people, that can read music and play the piano. They learnt when they were kids. Now that's all gone now, hasn't it? That's such a shame, because the piano is a lovely instrument. I think it's my favourite. Apart from Hendrix and his guitar, I like the piano. Once you've mastered the piano, you can go on to, and read music, of course, you can then learn other instruments or electronic keyboards and all that sort of fantastic stuff and make all sorts of dreadful noises. We did have music lessons at school, but what was his name? I can't remember the chap's name. Was it Mr. Morrison? He was an idiot. Mind you, he probably thought I was an idiot. We didn't have any sort of music lessons. I remember at primary school, I was chosen to be in the school orchestra. I didn't want to be, but I was chosen. And I'm thinking, well, I can't play any instruments. There were some on their recorders. Yeah, the girls had their recorders. Those whistle things you blow down and make another dreadful noise with. There was a kid on, was it a drum thing and a xylophone, all these different things. I was given a triangle. I had to hold this triangle up, and when the teacher pointed at me, I had to tap it, and it would go ding. And I had to do this every now and then when the teacher pointed at me. And I thought, this is an orchestra, the school orchestra. It's rubbish. It was dreadful. I think in the end I was de-chosen. Can you be de-chosen? Because I would get the triangle dinging at the wrong time. I had to follow the beat. Oh, that's right. I was then made the conductor. I had to stand in front of the little orchestra and I had to wave my finger, point my finger and do an upside down T. So you go that way, up, down, that way, up, down. And the kids are looking at me that have got the instruments. They had no idea what I was doing. They just did their own thing. I didn't know what they were doing or what I was doing. We were only, what, sort of 8 years old. But it was a total mess, a disaster. In the end, they did away with the conductor. That's me. They did away with me. They decided they didn't need a conductor because no one quite knew what he was doing. And neither did I. Mr. Mortimer, that was the music teacher at the secondary school when we were sort of 12, 13, 14. And he didn't teach us anything. I think we had to go on recorders there. They were dreadful things, recorders, weren't they? I don't know why all school kids back then had to learn to play a recorder. I never learnt to play the thing. Couldn't be bothered with it. The only music lesson I remember was one week he said, OK, next music lesson, you can bring in your own records if you've got the 45s, you know, the singles. Bring in records and we'll play them on the record player. And, of course, kids brought in all sorts of stuff, you know, Beatles and Rolling Stones records, whatever it was they brought in, I can't remember. And we spent the entire music hour just playing records. And he just sat down. I remember this vividly again. He sat down and read the paper while we're listening to records. I do remember thinking at school, quite often I thought about it, school teachers had an incredibly easy job back then. I know it's different now with the curriculum and all this stuff they have to do. But back then, they had an incredibly easy job. They just sat around at the front of the class, reading the paper, listening to the radio, smoking cigarettes. I should have gone into teaching, mind you, what could I teach? I did teach English once as a foreign language. I taught Spanish students and French students. I quite enjoyed that. But I should have gone into teaching when I left school, shouldn't I? Just laze around at the front of the class having a cigarette and listening to the pirate stations on my little transistor radio. That would have been good. OK, class, write a story about, I don't know, someone going down the beach and finding a stranded submarine. That'll do. That'll keep you busy for an hour while I read the paper. Someone I know who listens to these podcast episodes now and then, he went to a private school, Glenster Heights. Yeah, Glenster Heights, don't you know? And he was taught to play the piano. Well, one is taught, isn't one, at the private school. what? And we often laugh about that because I went to the, you know, the rough school and he went to Glenster Heights. Oh, dear, happy days. Imagine me at a posh sort of private school. Or what, in it? No, I don't know what it would have been like. Maybe I would have had a proper education. But of course, as I've told you before, I left school when I was 14 because I ruptured my liver, fell off my bike. That was a blessing that day. I mean, it hurt a lot, but it really was a bonus because I left school. And this chap I'm talking about, he was taught to play the piano at Glenster House. Oh, sorry, Heist. Not House, is it? Ass. Glenster Ass. Glenster Heist. I think it's not far from where I live now. It's gone now, the school. But I think it wasn't too far from where I live now. I shall have to look up Glenster House. If you're listening to this, you know who you are. Happy days. Mother-in-law's turned up, so I suppose I better go and show my face. Been great talking to you as always. Look forward to having another chat on Wednesday. Of course, in May, we're off to the Isle of Wight, which would be good. Have you any holidays planned or booked? Do let me know, raysrants@protonmail.com. Let me know what sort of holiday you like. I think a lot of people in America don't actually holiday outside America, do they? You go down, well, you've got everything, haven't you? You've got snow in the mountains, sun down in Florida. Yes, you've sort of got a choice without leaving the country. You can have all sorts of things. Rivers for fishing, or lakes, and oh, it must be lovely. So do let me know if you've got a holiday booked or you're planning something. I remember as a child really looking forward to our caravan holidays. You know, we'd go away as a family in a caravan somewhere, drive there for miles in some old car, you know, an old clapped out car. No, actually, we did borrow a friend's car, friend of the family, lent us his Hillman Minx, drove to Wales. Well, I didn't, my dad did. I was too young. And we went in this caravan. I remember that. It was good fun. You know, it was great fun. I remember my dad saying, don't go near that river, that stream. It wasn't a river, it was like a stream with a waterfall thing. And he said, don't go near that. You don't want to go falling in there. So what happened? He went near it and fell in. Of course, we thought that was hilarious. He'd made such a point of telling us not to go anywhere near the stream. And then he fell in. That was good fun. But they were great family holidays. You know, it was good. It was something to look forward to. As a kid also, of course, Christmas was a big thing to look forward to. Is it these days? I don't know. I'm not too sure. Because a lot of families these days, they go away for Christmas. And they have curry for Christmas dinner. Do you have curry for Christmas dinner? I love curry, but I wouldn't want curry for Christmas dinner. I like the traditional stuff, the roast potatoes, Brussels sprouts. Who likes Brussels sprouts? They're like Marmite, aren't they? You either love them or hate them. I love Brussels sprouts. I eat them raw sometimes. They're really nice. Anyway, enough of that. I've bored you now for 50 minutes. Thanks to anyone who's still with me. You've endured 50 minutes of Ray's rants. Well done. Congratulations to you. Take care, everyone. Be bad. Be good. Don't get caught. Look after yourselves. Above all, be healthy and be happy. See you on Wednesday. Bye-bye for now.